Hi there. We're back to the Coin Jar, and we're back to Goodbye to All That, which is a it's a novella that is part of the Coin Jar. We've already met our main protagonists. It would be Will Chaney, Jeannie Turner, and of course the little starlet that came over. The little starlet that came over from Canada because, she'd been bothered at some other places. Gwen Martin is her name. Anyway, we're going to do two chapters today. If you want something longer, I might advise that we're also have a story called Death in Llewellyn, which we are releasing today as well, in honor of my father's 94th birthday, which is today, on January 12th. So let's continue on with girl talk. Jeannie Turner was sure that the story she heard about why Will Chaney stood her up on Monday night would prove to be a blatant lie. She was also sure that the story that she and Will had finally had relations would have some plausible explanation. Jeannie wasn't really worried about her reputation. It's just that if a story about her sleeping with her longtime companion was circulating, she'd rather it be true. Being the old maid was wearing thin on her. She wanted, nay, she deserved the joy that a sexual encounter like the one she'd described in Cosmopolitan would happen to her. Will, despite his faults, was really a nice guy. He's a little slow in the uptake, and perhaps a bit plainer than heavier than she would have liked, but he was available. At least he was until Monday night. Someone had seen him go into the blue and the gray while she was bowling. There was a story that there was a mysterious woman holed up at the bed and breakfast. Someone with means, someone with a D cup. The bitch probably has implants, she growled as she was putting the case against Will together. When she got back from work, she stewed for an hour, working up the courage to call Will and tell him off, so she was good and mad when she finally did call him. Banging the phone down on Will's ear after telling the bastard off and telling him that they were through felt especially good. A minute later, she was out the door. She headed over to Ed's Church and Grill for dinner and a few drinks. She wasn't sure what to drink or when during the meal she should start drinking. All she knew that was she wanted to drink until she couldn't remember. She was that mad. Jeannie had spent some of the best years of her life chasing after someone who didn't appreciate her or even listen to her. Let him have his wrinkled clothes and his pink underwear, she harumphed. He can't last 6 months without me. She settled into the Church and Grill, ordered a holy Swiss burger with a side of tater wafers and a beer. What kind of beer do you want, hon? What goes good with a burger? Her order came with a Coors Light. By the time she was halfway through her burger, she ordered a second Coors. She was feeling pretty good about life in general by the time she had finished her meal, and the second beer, so she ordered another. Halfway through her third drink, she noticed that she was being watched by a woman who seemed vaguely familiar. The woman came over and sat in the booth across from her. She carried some sort of a bar drink in a shorter glass with ice in it. You know how Coors Light is like making love in a canoe, don't you? The other woman asked. Before Jeannie could fake an answer, the other woman told her, "It's fucking close to water." Jeannie laughed uncontrollably for a minute. She didn't really understand the joke. Maybe I'm drunk, she thought. Are you trying to pick me up? She asked the other woman. Sorry, I don't swing that way, came the answer. I came over because you looked as if you needed some company. I'm trying to drown my sorrows. I don't think I need any help, but thanks just the same. Well, if you're trying to drown your sorrows, you'll do a lot quicker with something other than beer. I'm having a drambuie on the rocks. I'm just beginning to drink, Jeannie answered. I take it you have experience. Not much, but I know that if you get drunk drinking what you're drinking, you'll be spending an awful lot of time peeing. Jeannie looked at the other woman, downed her third beer, then reached over to sample what the other woman was drinking. She put down the glass and squinted at the other woman. You're not from around here, are you? Jeannie asked. She noticed that her speech was a little slurred. I'm new here. I'm thinking of building on a farm just outside of town. I know you from somewhere. How do I know you? The other woman shrugged. I have no idea. Tell me something. How much did you have to drink before you got here? Nothing. I came over here right after I dumped my boyfriend, or he dumped me. I don't know which, the goddamn bastard. I gave that son of a bitch 10 years of my life, and he threw me over some bitch he met over the weekend. He thought he could smooth things over with me by taking me to a pity date on Friday. The other woman sat quietly while Jeannie continued. We had a standing date to go bowling on Monday nights, and he stood me up, told me he already had a date. I found out later he was at the bed and breakfast, or is that the brook and breakfast? I'd like to know who the bitch is who stole fucking Will from me. The other woman reached out and cupped her hands around Jeannie's. Are you talking about Will Cheney? Jeannie squinted her eyes, looked again at the woman sitting in the booth across from her. You're the orphan girl, Jeannie exclaimed. You're on that goddamn show no one ever heard of. Will showed me one of them. You're her, aren't you? Yes, I'm her. Will came to see me last night because I invited him yesterday morning. If I'd have known he was already involved with someone, I wouldn't have bothered. It took Jeannie a little longer than usual to process what the other woman was saying because of the alcohol. You, she finally sputtered. You're no different than I am. I mean, I heard that these enormous titties and that your looks could kill. It's all in how the merchandise is displayed. I'm just average. Makeup accounts for a lot of the looks. Jeannie started to feel sick. She excused herself to the ladies' room, arriving just in time to talk to one of the toilets. Supper had been repatriated itself from her body, and she hadn't even paid for it yet. After a minute or two and another quick chat, the unnamed woman came in to join her. Feeling better? A little, yeah. I'm Gwen Martin. Jeannie Turner. Jeannie felt another heave coming along. She gagged over the toilet, spat out a little, then flushed. You didn't drive here, did you? I walked. I'd never hear the end of it from Harold if I drove here. I take it that Harold is the town cop. Yep. Hell of a nice guy, but he talks too much. Gwen walked Jeannie over to the sink, started running water, and grabbed a handful of paper towels. Let's see if we can get you cleaned up a little bit and get you over to the Blue and Gray with me. Still got to pay the tab, Jeannie protested. I've already paid it. Look, you need to get out of here, and we need to talk. We have a mutual problem we need to solve. You mean Will? I mean Will. I need to be rid of him, and you obviously want him back. How do you mean? I mean that you strike me as someone who wouldn't go out and get drunk on 3 beers for no reason at all. It's obvious you love him. As far as I'm concerned, he's just one more obsessive fan, and if there's one thing fame has going against it, it's the well-meaning but obsessive fan. New chapter: Sorting Things Out. To Jeannie, the walk from Ed's Church and Grill to the Blue and the Gray took forever. Gwen was patient with her, pausing every block to allow Jeannie to straighten up for the next block. When Jeannie and Gwen crossed Walnut Street, Jeannie prayed that Will would not come bursting out of the apartment just to stand and watch her stagger by. "Let's get you out to my room so we can get you cleaned up a little better," Gwen suggested when they arrived at the bed and breakfast. Jeannie barely recalled Richard Elston helping Gwen get her upstairs to a room dominated by a large canopy bed into which Jeannie was poured. "Someone had a little bit too much to drink, I see," Richard remarked. "She's only had three and a half a jigger of Drambuie. Obviously, she has a low tolerance for alcohol," Gwen remarked. "Am I drunk?" "Yes, you're drunk, Jeannie. Richard, could you please see if Thomas has any coffee left over from dinner, and bring it up here if you could." "Yes, Miss Martin, right away." "I was told that if ever I got drunk, I had to be careful about getting picked up. I guess it's lucky it was you, wasn't it, huh? You need to get in the shower to sober up." Jeannie felt Gwen tugging at her shoes before she was rolled over on her back. "That's a nice ceiling up there. Or is that a canopy? I can't tell. Is there somebody up there ready to pounce on me?" "No, it's just the two of us. Let's sit up and get your shirt off." Jeannie sat up and felt a bit dizzy. Before she could flop back down on the bed, Gwen had grasped Jeannie's shirt and was pulling it over her head. "You want to see my titties, don't you?" There was a soft knock at the door. Richard entered, bringing a tray with a carafe of coffee and a pair of mugs. "I hope Decaf is okay." "Decaf is just fine, thank you." Jeannie felt no need to inhibit herself. She sat up and started to laugh. "Is the room next door available for the night?" Gwen asked. "Yes, it is, Miss Martin. I'll bring up the key and leave it in the lock. We can settle in the morning." "Hey, Richard! Mr. Elston, who has a boyfriend, did you come up here to see my titties?" Richard pointedly ignored Gwen's inebriated guest, quietly leaving and shutting the door. Jeannie stood up, pulled her bra around her waist, exposing her breast, then started to laugh hysterically. Gwen just shook her head. "We need to get you into the shower," she told Jeannie. With no little difficulty, Gwen managed to strip Jeannie the rest of the way down and shoveled her into the shower. Jeannie slowly came to some semblance of reality while the warm water of the shower coursed over her body. "There's some puke left over on your shirt and your jeans," Gwen's voice cut through the sound of the running water. "You seem to be about my size. I can get you something to wear in the morning. In the meantime, make use of the coffee and the bathrobe I've left you." Jeannie pulled the glass shower door open just enough to see that there was a cup of black coffee sitting conveniently close. She took the cup and sifted some coffee while she allowed the water in the shower to course down her hair and her back. It felt good. She spent 15 minutes sobering up before shutting down the shower. She dried herself and put on the robe hanging on the back of the bathroom door before going back out into the bedroom to sit on the side of the bed. "Feeling better?" "I'm still a bit shaky," Jeannie's voice sounded foreign to her. Let me see if I've got this straight. Were you telling me that you're Will's new girlfriend?" "I was telling you that I met Will. Met him for a few drinks and invited him to dinner. That's all. He has an obsession with me, and I'm not interested in him." "Well, he's obviously interested in you. And so are hundreds of men just like him, and I use the term men loosely. Most of them are like little boys." "You can say that again," Jeannie agreed. "I mean, Will has never gotten serious with me, and I've been seeing him now for, damn, 10 years? What do you want your relationship to be with him?" Jeannie paused to think as best as she could. The alcohol was still having an effect on her judgment, but not as much as it had just a quarter of an hour earlier. "I honestly couldn't tell you," she finally answered. "Love? Money? Sex?" Gwen rattled off some choices. "How about companionship or a sense of well-being? Have you ever had a relationship, a close relationship with anyone else before?" "Well, my parents," Jeannie said, "but they've been gone for years." "Gone as in dead or gone as they live somewhere else?" "Gone as in dead." Jeannie felt a pang of sorrow for the loss of her parents. "My father died at about the same time as I met Will. My mother died only this past summer." "I take it you'd been taking care of your mother." "Yeah, I'm still mourning her." An overwhelming sadness descended on Jeannie. She drew up into a fetal position and started to cry. Waves of grief relentlessly crashed over her. The realization she had passed middle age struck her for the first time. She had no children to fall back on. There would be none, ever, because she had spent her best years taking care of the parents she loved. She was scared. She was alone. And she knew that if Will Chaney didn't step up to the plate soon, she might never know the joys of companionship she had so generously bestowed on and received from her parents. And that's it for this week. And we've got more coming up with Will and Jeannie and Gwen Martin and some of the rest of the cast of characters from The Coin Jar. It is presumed, and probably I shouldn't have presumed this, that you know from some of my other works that Ed's Church and Grill is an unusual establishment. Once was a church and then converted over to a bar when the church decided, or the people from the church decided, it was time to let it go. But that's another story entirely. In the meantime, that does it. Don't take any nickels, and see you out there.